All right, if you have a Bible this evening, turn with us to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 5. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God tonight, found in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 5. Brother Mike, would you come read and help me out tonight? My voice is needing a little help this evening. If you'd read Luke 5, verses 1 through 7, I'd appreciate it, preacher.
Hear the word of God. He stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. When he had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike. Father, we bless you tonight. Thank you for the good day that you've given us today. I pray now you'd let preaching be easy a few moments this evening. I pray, Lord, you'd let me be a blessing to the people of God. And I pray, Lord, the Spirit of God would help me to exalt Christ in these last days of preaching. Help us tonight. I'm grateful to you for who you are and what you've done for me in my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Luke 5, I'd like to bring a message tonight on simply launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Now, in Luke 5, in verse 1, it's something very unique happened. The Bible said that it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now they pressed upon him. I want to say, first of all, this crowd, the book that they were fascinated with, it still fascinates me tonight to hear the preaching of the word of God. When we get to a place and a time in our Christian life where the Word of God does not challenge us, does not help us, does not heal us, then we're headed for bad trouble. But here tonight, you'll notice there was a book they were fascinated with. This is a despised book. Wouldn't it be a blessing if our country went by the program and the scriptures and the chapters of this book? But it is a despised book because it brings correction and it brings conviction. Not only is it a despised book, but it is a disputed book. What really burdens my heart tonight is men of God that have preached out of the King James Bible for years. They say they've gotten so enlightened that they've reasoned that it's no longer the Word of God, so they need a new Bible. Honey, let me tell you, I don't need a new Bible tonight. I'm satisfied with the one God has left me to live by, and the one to leave by, and the one to lead by. Somebody say amen. So it is a despised book. It's a disputed book, and it's a disturbing book. You know something? When the Word of God goes out, you'll notice many times it is a disturbing book. Sinners don't matter to them if you have a pony ride or a bake sale. But when the Word of God really goes out the way Jesus wrote it, not only does it disturb the sinner, but it disturbs the saints tonight. For this is the measure. This is the plumb line of God. This is the rule of measure that we are to do everything in our life by, is by the precious Word of God. But it is also a divine book tonight. You know, I said this week, thank God for tools that preachers can study by. Thank God for tools and other books that teachers and lay people can study by. But we must always remember this. This is the only book that is inspired of God. And it is the Word of God. Other men's writings will help you. But let me tell you how we stay balanced tonight is by this book. It is a divine book because it is the inspired book. God has breathed every word on the pages of this old book. And I'm thankful tonight that I'm still fascinated with this book. It still thrills me to preach. It still thrills me to hear preaching. It still thrills me and fascinates me. This week, I was out in Louisiana a good while ago, and I got a Bible, Brother Mark, that was covered with real soft leather. One man had hand-stitched it, and I get that Bible out and get on my back porch. That Bible's so soft to the touch and don't have any markings in it like my preaching Bible. And Brother Mike, I just gathered with that old book out on the back porch with God. And He began to talk to my heart, and the Spirit of God had come by and say, I said so then, and I say so this morning. I'm glad it's the book that still says so in this day and this hour. And I bless Him that it still thrills my heart to get a hold of the Word of God tonight. So here in this passage, there was a book they were fascinated with. May our church always stand amazed at the preaching of the Word of God. And so the book they were fascinated with. But secondly this evening, look in verse 2. You'll notice there were boats here that they were finished with. For the Bible said, and they saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them. They were washing their nets. You know, many times in ministry, many times in life, it gets so discouraging. So many times it seems that we have done our part, but we've brought our nets back empty. But mom and daddies, I want to tell you as your preacher tonight, just keep casting the net. Preachers, keep casting the net. Oh my goodness, it's no time to roll up our nets and be finished with them tonight. As the preacher stood and said, Jesus still saves in this day and this hour. And we need the power of the gospel like we've never needed it before in this generation this evening. But the boats they were finished with, now you'll notice simply that the fishermen were gone out of them. I want to ask you a question. Are you concerned about souls this evening? Does it ever bother you that your friends are going to die and go to hell? Does it ever bother you that your loved ones and your family have never been saved? Does it ever bother you that others are lost without God? So many times the fishermen have left out of the boats, and so we must realize tonight that we must be about the Father's business. The boats they were finished with. You know, I've got this written in my notes here in an old outline here where it says that they saw two ships standing by the lake. And this is what my note says. Big ships don't sail this way anymore. Be careful not to get too big for your britches. We must realize where our bread is buttered, and it does not matter how big the ministry gets. It doesn't matter how many people fills this building on Sunday morning. Preaching of the Word of God must be the priority, and we must realize we've got to have God in this ship tonight. The boats they were finished with, I've always said this, and I believe with all my heart, we live in a day of gimmicks, gadgets. We live in a day of where there's theatrics. There's so many things going on in church that appeals to the flesh. We are not catering to a generation that is looking for drama nor looking for entertainment. So we must stay in the boat and do what God has called us to do. Keep casting our nets. Tonight, the boats they were finished with, it's a touching story. It's a truthful story. So many people, so many ministries I've seen, they've got tired. They've tied their boat up and they're done with it. You know, may God help us to never tie this boat down. Tie this ship up. May we let her sail for the honor and the glory of God till Jesus comes. And here tonight, not only this book they were fascinated with, they came around Him to hear the Word of God. The boats that they were finished with, the fishermen were gone out of them. But look at verse 3, the bank that they were familiar with. The Bible said He entered into the one of the ships that was Simon's, and He prayed Him that He would thrust out a little from the land, and He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Taught them out of the ship. Now, you'll notice here the Bible says something. That when He entered into the ship, that was Simon's, He prayed Him that He would just thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and He taught them out of that place. Now, the bank they were familiar with. We are filled so many times where we stay in the shallows. We never launch out. We never move out by faith. We never move out of our comfort zone. I'm reminded back when I was a kid, we would go to the hay fields and haul hay. And at the end of the day, I could always remember my uncle saying, I'm going to take y'all to the river when this field of hay is picked up and it's in the barn. So we'd get to go down the river. It was a big flat rock there. It's where everybody would get in. And I was a little boy, probably Parker size, and my cousins were older, and they would get on out, and they would get about shoulder high, and they would always say this, Ken, come on out here. But I was scared to go any further because I knew where every stump was at. I knew where every rock was at. I was scared to go any further. It reminds me of church work tonight and ministry. Many times in our Christian walk of life, we don't want to launch out any further than where we got in at. Matter of fact, that's why Eutychus fell out of the third loft window. Because I don't believe he ever got in no further where he got in at. But can I tell you tonight, God wants us to get a little past where we got in at and trust Him for the honor and the glory of God this evening. Now, the bank they were familiar with. You know, we get so familiar with our environment, and so we find ourselves a lot of times in these shallows. We have shallow excuses. Well, I didn't come to church because I had company. Well, bring your company with you. I didn't come to church because the young'uns were sick. Well, how many grown-ups does it take to wipe a nose? Somebody say amen. Shallow excuses. Then shallow excursions. We never go further. Then shallow experiences. You know, I'd have never known how to swim till I hadn't have ventured out. Some of you ought to move out and you worship. Some of you ought to move out and you sing and move out and you praying. Move out and you teaching. Move out and you ministering. Move out and you're witnessing. Move out and you're giving. Move out by faith. Get out from where you are so God can take you to higher ground tonight. So here we see this bank they were familiar with. But look in verse 3. The story changes. The bystander that they were favored with. The Bible said that in verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships. You know, he sure does change things when he gets on board. I'm glad one day when Jesus got on board. We sung that song this morning. Thank God for the little ship of Zion. I'm glad one day that the captain called me and let me get on board. I want to ask you something tonight. Has Jesus ever got on board? Did Jesus ever come aboard of your ship? So he entered into one of the ships that was Simon's and prayed him he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and he taught them. And the Bible said, verse 4, now when he left speaking, he said to Simon, Launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draught. The bystander they were favored with. Then verse 5, watch this flesh come in view. Not only this bystander they were favored with, but this bickering they were faced with. Look what the Bible says in verse 5. And Simon answering, what's the key to that story, preacher? Well, here is Peter. Simon is his old fleshly and earthly name. And a lot of times when the Lord challenges us to do something, to go out further with God, the flesh always answers first. And look what he said. He mentioned him as master. But he really didn't believe what he just called him. Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now here's an interesting Bible word. I would love to do a theme on this sometime through the Bible. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Now, you say, preacher, you said something there. You said that he called him master, but you said he really didn't believe him to be master. He was just talking. Can you back that up? I sure can. Look, if you would, in verse 5. Now, Jesus told him in verse 4, launch out in the deep and let down your, what? Nets. Plural. Underline that. Let down your nets for a drought. That means a haul, by the way. And Simon answered, said to him, Master, we've toiled all night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net singularly. I wonder what he could have caught if he had obeyed God. I wonder what he could have brought on board that night if he'd have really trusted God. You see, I'm more convinced the older that I'm in the Lord tonight that partial obedience is disobedience. He told him, and this is not a King James mistake. Jesus put these words in their nets, plural. Simon, let down your nets for a drought or a haul. He said, okay, Lord. He said, I've been doing this a long time. I'm real good at what I'm doing. And just because you've come up into my boat and told me what to do, I'm going to call you master, and I will let down the net. The Bible said in verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. I want to ask you something. I wonder what got away because they wasn't obedient. I wonder how many got away because simply he partially obeyed. Net break. You know, I've always noticed this when I mind the Lord, that he's so faithful to do what he says he'll do. And even when it goes against my knowledge, my expertise, my mathematics, it's like he said, hey, Ken, let down your nets for a drought. Now, Lord, I've been doing this a long time, but you're the Lord. I'm going to drop this net down just to show you that I trust you a little bit. Look what I've lost by not obeying the Lord. I wonder what you've lost. God has proved over and over and over and over to me that I can trust Him. I can't figure Him out, but I can trust Him. And so here in this story, I want you to notice another interesting teaching in the Word of God. This bystander they were favored with, of course it was the Lord Jesus, He entered. And He told them in verse 3, He said, now I want you to simply leave out. And then in verse 4, He tells them something out. Now I want you to launch out. Some of you need to just leave out a little bit. And you that have done left out, you ought to launch out. It's a step process. You understand that tonight? None of us will ever arrive with Jesus. Every day is always training ground. And you say, well, preacher, now I've done left out a pretty good piece. Yeah, I did too. But he's still telling me to launch out. Go further. Trust me. Go further in your prayer life. I want to ask y'all something. There's no doubt in my mind, and I don't say this here. I say this nearly every place I go. I preach to some of the greatest people in this country. There's some of the greatest people in this building that I've ever met in my life that's in the walls of a church tonight in Bowdoin, Georgia. But I want to ask y'all something. If we really went further in our prayer life, I wonder what God could do here. If we went further instead. Yesterday I was so frustrated. I got in my study yesterday morning, I come out of lunch, I didn't have nothing. I'd been there all morning, praying, studying, asking God, Lord, I need something. Just nothing would flow. Nothing would work. Yesterday evening, all evening, we got in last night. I tried. Nothing had happened. I said, well, honey, I'm just going to bed. I'm so frustrated. Woke up this morning. He's in that study and God gave me a little thought. I said, God, thank you for that. That one little fault you get. Well, why'd you say that, preacher? Because I'm going to tell you, every day's not a piece of cake. God is always challenging us. God is always testing us. If He asked you to go further, would you go further? You know, I heard this week, and I was so grateful to hear three young men had announced their call to preach in the area. I'm thankful of that. It gives me hope for my grandchildren's generation. But tonight, you've got to realize we can trust the Lord with His Word. Then, verse 5, you'll notice this burden that they went fishing with. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. You know, a lot of times you've got to have this nevertheless in your Christianity. Nevertheless, Lord, it's not good on my flesh today. Nevertheless, Lord, it's not real convenient right now. Nevertheless, Lord, but at thy word, I'll let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net. Right now, I want you to see something in verse 7 that is against the Baptist formula. Verse 7. The burden they went fishing with, but now verse 6, the blessing they were filled with. They enclosed a great multitude of fishes, their net break. And verse 7, look what they do. And I close this sermon tonight. They beckoned on their partners. If you look this word beckoned up, you know what it means? Hey, y'all come over here. It means to wave with the gesture of the hand. Come here. Beckoned unto the partners. And so, you'll notice when they beckoned their partners, which were in the other ship, they should come, now underline this, and help them. This is where I'm fixing to get you all sideways, but I'm going to help you. Stay with me now. They beckoned their partners, which were in the other ship, they should come and help them. They said, hey, y'all come here and help us. Am I in the Bible right? And they came and filled both the ship so that they began to to sink. Now, I want to ask y'all something. What goes against so many teachings by good Baptists and about saving, 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 and don't never give, save, save, save? I've seen so many churches would have CDs. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars saved. Now, what I read to you tonight, when Jesus blessed them, they said, "Y'all come here and help us." Now, how did they come and help us? So y'all can understand this. Here we are. Jesus done filled up our ship. So we beckoning our partners. "Hey, y'all in the ministry, come here. Come help us. We at Liberty, come help us." So you think, what that's going to come help us, that's going to come bring us something. Shake your little Baptist head up and down tonight. Say, we've been taught for somebody to come help you, they're going to bring you something. But you know what will really help us tonight? When we realize our church is a channel and not a reservoir. Come help us and get what we got. Come help us. We want to give y'all what we got. How in the world do you get help given away? That ain't in the Baptist School of Theology. I remember the bankers come here and we was going to get a loan for our last edition. And this is what they said. Ask Brother Mike, he is there. Big banker, big shot. He didn't know me from Adam's house cat. I knew the president of the bank. But his chief loan officer come and he looked at Brother Mike's books. He said, "I've never seen books better than what this man keeps, preacher." I said, "Well, I'm sure of that." He said, "But I've got an issue with y'all's ministry." I said, "What kind of issue you got?" He said, "The money that's coming in y'all's church, where's your money at?" I said, "Well, we give 30% of it away to missions there." Well, he said, "You do what?" And the president looked, Brother Dan, and said, "I told you this man's different before you come down here to see. Do you see this principle in our Bible?" You know what I said? I said, "Sir, let me tell you, I believe in planning. I absolutely believe in planning. I believe in planning, planning, planning. But there's a place in the ministry, and there's a place in your family. There's a place in your life when you've got to realize where Jesus said, 'Give, and it shall be given unto you.'" I said, "Our church has always trusted the Lord to have a strong mission program. And sir, if you're telling me that we can't continue to help missionaries around this country, then I've got the wrong banker here." "Well, I've just never seen nothing like this, preacher." I said, "Well, I can tell you right now, if you take our missions away from this church, you're taking the wind out of our sails. You're taking the gas out of our engine. Do you see this Bible principle tonight on helping others? By giving to others, it helps us. Why would God want to send us what He sends us and we take and put it in a CD and not use it for the kingdom of God?" Am I out of the Bible? The blessing they were filled with. And the beckoning they were found with. You know, we're to be channels, not reservoirs. Do you want more than you can handle in life? Leave out. Launch out with God and trust Him for what He tells you to do. You know, there's people dying and going to hell all around this country. there's missionaries come through this church, and we try to be good to everyone that comes through. Because you know what Jesus said? Let me show you this in the book of Galatians. Turn with me tonight. Book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Verse number 10. I close this sermon. Galatians 6 and 10. There's been times, many of you don't know about this, but I'm going to tell you a little bit what I've seen. I've had pastors or missionaries or evangelists, whatever, call and tell me about a need. Brother Ken, we're broke down, need this or that. And I'd look at Brother Mike and say, Brother Mike, I know we don't have this in the missions, but you help me pray that God would send that what we need here tomorrow, that we could help this family out if God wants us to be here. Time after time after time, God has seen about that need. And I'm going to tell you, this church, this ministry, has probably helped as many people as any ministry that I'm aware of tonight. Let me tell you something. God is faithful. God honors His Word. And once you look what this Bible says in Galatians 6 and 10, you can build a whole ministry off of it. As we have, therefore, opportunity. Let us do good unto all men. I want to stop right there. Let us do good unto all men. You've heard this said. I've missed a blessing on account of this. Well, preacher, if I give them something, they're going to misuse it. Well, let me ask you something. How does that rob you of your blessing? That's between them and God. If you've minded the Lord of what He wants you to do to help people, and they misuse your offering, your giving, that's their problem. You've minded God, and God will bless you. You've got to have sense about it. I wouldn't just throw it in a bonfire. But you know what I'm saying. And then secondly, look how the passage changes. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And here it is, especially unto them who are the household of faith. You ought to teach your children, raise your children to be good to God's people. Be a blessing to God's people. Isn't it a blessing? Was any of y'all here that night at camp meeting when the Hendersons broke down? I know Brother Rodney and Miss Kim was, because they rode them in their pickup truck. Anybody remember that meeting that night we took up? Raise your hand up high if you was here then. This is an amazing thing. The Hendersons were scheduled to sing here. And I looked, it was late, and I walked down on the porch, and Brother Rodney's family was on the back of his truck, and I looked, and the Hendersons was in Brother Rodney's truck. And their old van broke down on them down there at the bank. And I asked Miss Patsy, I said, Miss Patsy, where's your van? She said, oh, it quit. I said, what'd you do with it? She said, we rolled it up there in the bank parking lot. It's all right, preacher. I said, well, how are you going to get home? She said, well, I will get home. Lord, if that had been me, I'd have been home near a cell phone in the country. how in the world am I going to get home? I said, Miss Patsy, how many miles on y'all's van? She told me then it's nearly 300,000. Holy Ghost nudged my heart. I said, you take them up an offer and be good to them people. We took up an offering that night in camp meeting. And it was amazing what God brought in here. They went and bought them a van that next week. You know what they done? They were so proud of what God had done for them. They pulled that van right out here and they opened the doors on it and come in church. I said, Miss Patsy, why did you do that? She said, preacher, I wanted your people to see what God has done for us through them. That does my heart good tonight. To realize God wants us to be a channel. He wants us to have common sense. Yes, we are to plan. But we are to trust God when He speaks to our hearts. Launch out by faith. Launch out in your prayer life. Launch out in your witnessing. You know, they beckoned unto them. What's going on in this ministry? Let me people are dying and starving to death. They would love this old-fashioned church if you'd invite them to it and sit with them through it. So I'll reach over there and pat him on the leg. It'll be okay. He's a little red-faced. He's running. He'll settle down a little bit. He'll be all right in a few minutes. Appreciate you being here tonight. Boy, I appreciate the good day that we've had. If God has ever taught me anything in this Bible and ministry,